Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
In the morning I greet my God and resolve to give no room to sin, but rather consecrate the day to you, abiding firm and master of the passions, for wickedness would bring dishonour upon my graying hairs and upon the table at which I minister. Do you, my Christ, bring this beginning to a happy end? Those the words of St. Gregory of Nazianzus in a morning prayer written in the form of a theological poem. It is the poetry of St. Gregory that we take for our brief reflections today. Born in the year 330 or thereabouts, St. Gregory was the son of another man also called Gregory, who was himself Bishop of Nazianzus. And while we remember our St. Gregory as St. Gregory of Nazianzus, it was his father, and not he, that actually held the episcopal see of that city. St. Gregory the Younger was brother to St. Gregory of Nyssa, and close friend to St. Basil the Great, this small collection of individuals becoming known as the Cappadocian Fathers, three of the most important, influential, and lasting voices in the patristic period of the 4th century. It is St. Gregory of Nazianzus who is given the title theologian, one of only three individuals in the Church commonly commemorated in this way, the others being St. John the Theologian, who wrote the fourth Gospel and received the Revelation, and St. Simeon the New Theologian, about whom we have recently spoken in these broadcasts. St. Gregory of Nazianzus was a retiring personality, often torn between the political life leading the Church in the city, in the capital, and the solitary, quiet life of contemplation to which his personality naturally drew him. He was, despite this retiring personality, what Father John McGuckin has characterized as the greatest rhetorician of his age, a master of words. St. Gregory was skilled at the art of oratory and delivered theological orations which even today retain their potency. But at the end of the day, Gregory was a poet. Every time he was drawn into the city, often by the urgings of his close friend St. Basil, he retired, sometimes quickly, sometimes after a short delay, back to his family's country estate, where he would devote himself to prayer. Yet he was often drawn out of this solitude for the work of the Church. And in the year 381, when the Emperor Theodosius took over the throne and the Second Ecumenical Council was called in the city of Constantinople, it was our St. Gregory the Theologian who was brought into the synod, consecrated patriarch of that city, and sat in chairmanship of the council. It was an experience that would be defining for St. Gregory. To be involved at such a potent and important event in the life of the Church, and yet it would confirm for him his basic attitude towards what he viewed as the political side of Church life. Quoting from St. Gregory's words, "If I must speak the truth," he writes, "I feel disposed to shun every conference of bishops, because I have never seen yet a synod that came to a happy end. They do not solve problems, they increase them. There is always rivalry there, and ambitions, which soon gain mastery over all reason. I am not exaggerating. If a man tries to act as a mediator, he is more likely to draw fire on himself than he is to reconcile the parties. Accordingly, I have retired to private life and consider tranquillity the only secure way of living." I have always found this a telling and indeed somewhat slightly amusing characterization of the work of the Holy Councils. He is, after all, describing the Second Ecumenical Council. And yet, as frustrating as such experiences may have been in terms of their political agendas, it was in great holiness that St. Gregory, together with the other fathers, articulated the faith of the Church in a manner that would resound through the centuries. And we must bear in mind that it was at that very ecumenical council in Constantinople that the creed as we use it in the Church was finalized. And yet Gregory retires from such acts to his own solitude, and it is here that the most beautiful of his output occurs. His orations, delivered in the great capital city, delivered in cathedrals to audiences of emperors, patriarchs, bishops, the learned, are powerful and important. But in his quiet poetry, something of his true character shines through. A man devoted to the love of God, who felt that the best expression to give God's love a voice was the expression of song, of poem. I began this podcast with a reading of a poem taken as a morning prayer, in which St. Gregory devotes the day to God. It is a moving prayer and a stirring example of the way in which song can express the longings of the heart. "I resolve to give no room to sin," he said, "but rather consecrate this day to you, abiding firm and the master of my passions." And yet, here is the evening prayer, which gives the honesty to that offered in the morning. "I deceived you, word of God and very truth, when I consecrated this day to you. Now night comes upon me, and my own light is not undimmed. This I prayed over and foresaw, but in part my feet have stumbled, and on me darkness fell, that hater of salvation. Rekindle my light, O Christ, and shine on me again." Here are the words of a poet who sees the beauty of dedicating oneself to God and yet does not remain unaware of the true failings of his person. St. Gregory was always aware throughout his life of the struggle of Christian living, the fact that one dedicates and yet falls, the fact that one struggles and yet one faces an opponent dedicated to hindering that struggle. I have often felt that one of St. Gregory's most moving poems is that which in Father John McGuckin's translation is given the title The Serpent. "Once more the serpent creeps on me, Lord, I reach out to you. Hold me safe, O hold me safe. Do not abandon your image, lest the enemy snatch me like a poor bird plucked from its nest. I am terrified, alas, of the judgment, and yet I long for my release. I am in torment here. There is nothing constant in my life. You beckon me to come, but I have no cause for boldness in your sight. Even so, I am yours, O Christ. So save me, as it is your heart's desire to do." It is the sense of true struggle that comes across in St. Gregory's works, the fact that sin is a real force, that the devil a real opponent, and the struggle fierce and true. And yet at the same time, in the same breath, Gregory always confesses, "Even so, I am yours, O Christ." The depth of sin, when it is acknowledged as true, reveals above all else the true saving nature of the Creator. When I look at my own life, I am confronted with the fact of my sin. "I have no cause for boldness," St. Gregory says, "yet Christ has made us bold." This reminds me of a hymn, a beautiful text, which in the choir of the monastery of St. John of Shanghai in San Francisco is set to beautiful tune. "I call to my prophet as he cries. I called to mind the words of the prophet, and I said, I am earth and ashes. And I looked again into the graves, and beheld the bones laid bare, and I said, Who then is king? Who the beggar? Who the righteous? Who the sinner?
Who then is king? Who the beggar? Who the righteous? Who the sinner?
Then the hymn comes to its important refrain, Yet, O Lord, give rest unto thy servant among the righteous.
Give rest unto thy servant with the righteous.
That was the choir of the Monastery of St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco, singing a cantacion of the funeral service in the fifth tone. It is not possible to acknowledge truly the love that Christ gives if we do not acknowledge the reality of our sinful condition. Who then is king? Who then is poor? Who the righteous one? God alone is righteous. This the great message of the hymn, this too the message resounding in the poetry of St. Gregory of Nazianzus. I might end our short reflection today with a poem given simply the title, A Thanksgiving. Thanks be to you, O King of all and Maker of all things. Your glory fills all heaven, and all earth is full of your wisdom. God the Son, your Word, created all that is. Your Holy Spirit endows all things with life. Have mercy on this world, O Holy Trinity. Have pity on us, O Son of God, according to the Spirit, and Son of Man, according to the flesh, in which, as mortal man, you suffered the fate of man upon a cross. But as immortal God on that third day came out the gates of hell, snapping all the chains of death in your resurrection, and so you graced our mortal race with a nature that might live for ever and for ever sing your praise.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.